How many's glad you're part of the kingdom of God? That wasn't too convincing. How many's glad you're part of the kingdom of God? The first kingdom. Some of you got to understand that before there was anything, there was God. Before there was ever a star, before there was ever a planet, before there was a universe, before there was a solar system, there was God. Let me right now declare to you, yes, I believe in a Big Bang theory. God said, let it be, and bang, there it was. God's kingdom was eternal and is eternal. The word God denotes that it is self-existing. God does not need to have breakfast. God doesn't need to drink water or eat. God doesn't need you and me. God exists all by himself. I've got to say that again. God exists all by himself. I said this Wednesday night, I'm going to say it this morning. I was watching the Science Channel and they were showing through the Hubble telescope the solar systems and the way out there, the solar systems. And they kept saying that they're spinning and they couldn't figure out how come planets just didn't fly out. And so they came up with dark matter. We can't see it, but it's got to be there. And I said to myself, I'm watching it, I know what dark matter is. It is the will and the presence of an eternal God that keeps everything going. Can you say amen? So God, he rules in the super or the above, the natural world. So God has a kingdom. He's God. He has angels under him that minister to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every minute, every second of the day. These angels minister to him. There was music playing for him, and all of this was for him. So then why would God create us? I'm glad you asked. First of all, to understand why God does anything, you've got to understand God. To understand God, the very definition of God is love. Not that God loves, not that God can love, God is love. So if God is love, then the inspiration for him or the motivation for him to create humanity and create this planet called Earth and put us on it is that it was love, that he might love. Amen. You know, it's tough to have love and not to share it with anyone. Amen. Somebody said God created us for fellowship. He needed fellowship. God don't need anything. God don't need you. That's the craziest thing in the world. God don't need it. We need him. But God wanted it. Somebody say amen. God wanted to show his love to us. So God created. He created to share his kingdom. Matthew 25 and 34 said, then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So God created us that we might be part of his kingdom.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
It's going to get better. The origin of the plan for man. To establish a family of sons and not servants. I'm glad I'm not a servant,
amen.
But I'm a child of God.
Yes.
I said, glad I'm not a servant, I'm a child of God. How many children of God do we have here? See, there's a difference between being a servant and being a child. If you're a servant, you're working for it. If you're a child, you just get it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This is wonderful. I got my granddaughter taking pictures of me. Hallelujah. Understanding that we are sons of God, it takes me to the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to give you an opportunity to shout here. The prodigal son left his father and went out into riotous living, spent everything he had, ended up in a pig pen, eating after the pigs. And you know what pigs eat? Leftovers. He's eating leftovers of the leftovers. And listen, if you're going to eat what the pig don't want, you're in bad shape. Amen. But I want you to know that's where the enemy wants to take you. Are you ready? He came to himself and said, let me go back to my father's house. I'll just be a servant. Because even the servant in my father's house gets to eat good food. Come on, Brandon, you're going to help me. Stand right there. The prodigal son, Brandon's representing the prodigal. He gets up. He's got pig all over him. He's got pig slop all over him. He's got pig germs all over him. I mean, he stinks. Flies are following around him. And there's nothing worse to a Jewish man than a pig. They're the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst. And so here he comes. He's coming home wanting to be a servant. And then his father saw him and went to him and said, son, you need to go clean up, boy, before you come in here. No. The Bible said he saw him and he ran. But listen to me, not only that, but when he grabbed a hold of him, all of the pig, all of the slop, all the nastiness came on him. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? God came in flesh that he might take all of it upon himself, that you and I could be a son of God and not a servant of God, but a child of God. There's some more shouting grounds. Now, if he was to go to the temple or the tabernacle, the priest would see him coming and say, boy, you are not coming in here with all that pig on you. That's unclean. So what the father did, he stepped in front. Oh, hallelujah. You know what Jesus did? I was unworthy. I was full of sin. I was unworthy, but Jesus stepped in and he said he's not going in on his merit. He's coming in on mine. Amen. He's coming in on my righteousness. He's coming in on my holiness. And because of that, I am a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn around and tell your neighbor, I'm a child, not a servant. To establish a kingdom and not a religion. Religion holds man down. Religion says you got to go through traditions and rituals to get to God. A kingdom says that you are a child of the king. Aren't you glad that you don't have to come and sit in my office and tell me your problems to get to heaven? Amen. Frankly, I don't want to hear them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that all you got to do is say, Jesus, and he says, here I am. Say, Jesus, forgive me. He says, yes, you are. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we don't have religion, but we have kingdom? To establish a kingdom of kings and not subjects. Pastor, are you saying we're kings? No, but let me tell you who is. Revelations 5 and 10. And made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you're a king. You're a priest. You're a prince. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In other words, God didn't come down and God didn't create us that we would be subjects, but that he could raise us up For we have been given the power of God to become sons of God. And sons of God, we have become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Turn out to your neighbor, you don't deserve all the junk the devil's been sending you. You are a king. To establish a commonwealth of citizenship, not a religious system. Listen to me. I know you live here. I know that some of you live in Lindenhurst and Babylon and North Babylon and Amityville and Copig, and we have some that live in Queens, and that's just your temporary address. You are a citizen of another kingdom. Amen. I said you're a citizen of another kingdom. A kingdom you can't see with your mortal eyes. You cannot hear with your mortal ears. But guess what? It's more real than what you see or you hear. So quit going on what you see or hear and start going on what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that we are kings. To establish relationship with man, not religion. Aren't you glad we have relationship? Let me go back to relationship. I have an office, and you know, usually before anybody comes in, they knock. And sometimes I don't know if I'm not speaking loud enough or that person's deaf, because I go, come in, come in, come in. And then I got to get up and go around and go, come on in. Well, I didn't hear you. But there's one person in this church that goes in and opens my door, sits in my chair, eats my candy, plays on my keyboard, and when I go in there, I say, what are you doing? I'm in Dida office. I'm sitting in Dida chair. I'm eating Dida's candy. And I say, yes, you are. And I go over and sit in another chair. Somebody, you know why? Because she has relationship. Aren't you glad we have relationship? Amen. We have a right to come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Some of you need to quit standing on the outside and get on the inside. We have relationship. Oh, Lord, help me. To extend his heavenly government on earth, to influence earth from heaven through mankind. You are the only God this world will ever see. You're the only Jesus this world. You represent him. Yes, amen. Now we're going to shout kingdom components. There's some components that go with the kingdom. A health program, a national health program. Our government right now is all tied up. Some are for it, some are not. Some are saying it's going to cost billions. Some are saying it's cost trillions. Some are saying they're going to raise taxes. Some are saying they're not. And they're in a tie-up. Guess what? We have a national health program in this kingdom that says, by his stripes we were healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Last night, right before church, I got a text from my brother, and it said, pray, please pray, pray now. My sister, who has had a bone marrow transplant because of the cancer that she has, incurable, a bone marrow transplant, and she has Addison's disease, and because of the bone marrow transplant, her immune system is almost gone, and so she can't get a germ, she can't get a virus, a common cold could kill her. Yesterday, her temperature went up to like 102, 103. That meant she had a bacteria in her system. It was so bad, emergency rushed her to the hospital. You know what they did? They put her in an emergency room. What a place to put someone with an immune system problem, where there's a whole lot of germs. They finally, through an ambulance, rushed her to the cancer hospital. Cancer hospital was really mad they put her in an emergency room. Guess what? We prayed. The fever went down. They can't find a bacteria. They don't know why. I do. They're saying maybe it never was there. That's what you say. I say there's a national health program that says call on the elders of the church and let them anoint you and pray for you, and you shall be healed. It says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It says where two or three agree asking anything of the Father, it shall be done. Hallelujah. A national health program, are you ready? An education program, teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Have you ever opened up the Bible and said, Holy Spirit, just teach me something today? And you read something you had read over and over and over, and then all of a sudden you went, wow, I never seen that in there before. Have you ever come to church and the preacher either preaches or teaches, and you're going, I didn't see him in my house this week. He has spies. You know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the teaching of the, for the Spirit of truth will come and lead and guide you in all truth. So it has a great education program. Are you ready? A taxation system. Got a few amens. Called tithing.
Yes.
You know what amazes me about taxes? Every year, somewhere around April, we get a check. And we're thrilled to death. Look what the government sent me. Government didn't send you anything. It was your money.
Amen.
And now they're sending it back. But what's funny is, I pay a whole lot and get a little bit back. But in tithing, I give a little and get a whole lot back. Hallelujah. Oh, did anybody hear me what I'm saying? Because if I bring my tithes and offerings in the storehouse, he opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing I can't even handle. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good. That's just good preaching right there. He's got a central communication system called the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues and interpretations, prophecy, word of knowledge. Everybody, let me tell you that, yes, God is moving in the gifts of Spirit in this church. But understand, God's not going to tell you anything he hasn't already dealt with you about. One person was supposed to have been a prophet and had a prayer line, was prophesying to everybody. And one lady came up, he laid hands on her and says, God's called you to be a missionary in China. She said, wow. The next man came up, he laid hands on him, said, God's called you to be a missionary in India. He said, whoa. He said, what's wrong? He said, that's my wife you just sent to China. He said, oh, well, I made a mistake. God's sending you both to Indochina. Let me tell you something. If it doesn't confirm something God has already spoken into your life, let it go. But I'm here to tell you, God is about ready to begin to confirm some things in some people's life. Amen? Because God don't set up a spiritual medium in the church.
Amen.
Oh, this is good teaching right here. Oh, go ask Sister So-and-so what God said. I know what God says. I have a personal relationship with him.
Amen.
Oh, I want to give you a home. Hold on. Someone wants to give me a home. Is that of God? Let me tell you something. If someone says, I'm going to give you a home, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Because I know every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen. Yes. We don't need, let me tell you something. God will move, but he will confirm in your life what God has already spoken. A diplomatic corps. We are ambassadors of Christ. You are right where you are because God wants you to be there. You're in the neighborhood you are because God wants you to, because you are representing God. A system of administration, the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the church. And then finally, he's got an economic system of giving and receiving, of seed time and harvest time. Give and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you give to the poor, it's like lending it to God.
Yes.
And I might have told you this testimony, but I told it last two services, I'm going to tell you. We were pastoring in Niagara Falls and it was in December. If you ever get to go to Niagara Falls in December, stay home. It is cold. I mean cold, cold. You don't know cold. It is cold. And it was one of those cold days. And me and Sister Rita was out Christmas shopping. And my daughter was in college and she had lunch break. So she called us. She said, what are you doing? We said, well, we're getting ready to have lunch. She said, where are we going? She was looking for a free lunch. So we ended up going to Wendy's. We got to Wendy's and it was, I mean, it was bitter cold. We got something to eat and went and sat down, and my daughter had got chili, and I said, well, I'll go, she forgot a spoon. I said, I'll go get you a spoon. And I got up and went to get a spoon, and there was three little girls there. Their faces were so red from the cold. Yeah. So I knew that they had walked to Wendy's. Yeah. They had one order of French fries and three little cups with water in it. That's all they could afford. They had walked to Wendy's, three girls put all their money together to share one French fry with three little waters. I went and sat down, had tears already running in my eyes. I said, honey, you go buy those girls a hamburger and French fries and a Coke. She got up and went and sat with them and asked them, would it be okay if we bought them hamburger, French fries, and Coke? They were blown away. Of course, everybody else there was watching and they were blown away. So my wife went up and got them a hamburger, French fry, and Coke and set it before them. And she just said, God bless you. And got up, and I heard one little girl go, wow, this is a Merry Christmas. When my wife sat down, I looked at her and I said, honey, how does it feel to give Jesus a hamburger and a French fries and a Coke? Because when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to him. Within the next few weeks after Christmas, me and my wife had got food coupons, cards, gift certificates, over $500 to Red Lobster, to one of the best restaurants in Buffalo. And someone said, wow, how did you get all of that? How can we get that? I said, find three little girls. And feed them a hamburger and a French fries and go, because you cannot outgive God. Somebody say amen. You cannot outgive God. Give and you shall receive. God has put us here to spread the kingdom of God, to establish the kingdom of God. See, when it comes to colonizing, when Britain wanted to colonize America, they sent people here who begin to build the kingdom here. God has sent you right where you are to establish the kingdom. On our music boat cruise thing we did Friday night, we got done eating, and I looked up front. Elder Eddie had the two ladies who were serving us by the hand, and they were praying the prayer of salvation with him. You know what he was doing? Establishing the kingdom of God. When I was a junior in high school, I went to school one day, and it was a young man. He was a friend of mine, and he pulled out a .38 and asked me, did I want to buy it? Right in school. I'm like, we're in school. $20, he said, that's all, $20. He was really into selling drugs, and of course I said no, because my dad would have killed me. A few years later, Chrysler Jeep Corporation, a young man went to his foreman that went to the management and said, I want to have a Bible study. They gave him 15 minutes in a little room. In no time, he had too many people for the room. They gave him a bigger room and then gave him a half hour. Listen, it wasn't his lunch break. He was getting paid to have Bible study on his job. It got so big, over 200, 300, 400, they were using the cafeteria as people were getting saved. I said to someone, who started this? When they said the name, I went, he was trying to sell me a gun. You know what happened? He found Jesus Christ as his Savior. He went to his job and began to establish the kingdom of God right where he was. Amen. It is up to us to establish the kingdom of God. For in his kingdom we are healed. In his kingdom we are delivered. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Would you stand with me one more time?